ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विरुसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः सी दोस् हू वाण्ट् टु लर्न् टु चाण्ट् करेक्ट्लि प्रापर्लि can listen to the recorded chanting of these verses and then it will be available with Praveenji and also Rajniji. Okay, the whole chapter separately, the verses alone I'll recite and record it for you, so you can listen and learn. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. कर्मयोगो नाम कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः अर्जुन उवाच ज्यायसि चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम् श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम् न कर्मणामनारम्भात् आरम्भात् नैष्कर्म्यम् पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च सन्न्यसनादेव सिद्धिम् समधिगच्छति न हि कश्चित् क्षणमपि जातु तिष्ठत्य कर्म कृत कार्यते ह्यवशः कर्म सर्वः प्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः यू आल् नो अर्जुन हेड् अ डौट् that which should he follow, whether he should follow karma yoga, whether he should perform karma or he should go for the pursuit of knowledge. Krishna made it very clear, there is no choice between karma yoga and jnana yoga, because these two, there is no option between these two. These two are two different sadhanas which have to be followed one after the other, which means karma yoga is a sadhana which has to be followed in order to prepare one's mind for knowledge. Prepare one's mind means it's a mental qualification in terms of mental purity and mental steadiness, without which pursuit of knowledge will not be possible. Knowledge will not be possible. Therefore, karma yoga is one has to follow to prepare one's mind. Thereby, having prepared one's mind for knowledge, then one can pursue the knowledge. Thereby one can attain knowledge, which itself is moksha. Because I think the students who are here are already my people who will listen to me for quite some time. I use this term, I use this expression, knowledge itself is moksha. Because for us, knowledge and moksha are not two different ends. Even though moksha is the ultimate end, moksha is a choiceless end, and that moksha, that is freedom from sorrow, which implies the happiness or fullness, in Tamil we say niraivu, and that is only in the wake of the knowledge of the self. Therefore, the knowledge itself is freedom. Therefore, I may change. So, we are used to my teaching. Therefore, karma yoga has to be followed for mental preparation. And having prepared one's mind, having become qualified for knowledge, one has to pursue knowledge, which is called jnana yoga, which is a sadhanam for jnanam, which is the moksha. This Krishna made very clear, which means there is no option. And thereafter, Krishna continued saying, non-performance of actions will not free one from bondage, will not free one from sorrow. And also, performance of actions also will not free one from sorrow. Or, simply renouncing everything, becoming a sannyasi, or wearing saffron clothes, going away somewhere, also, merely renouncing actions as a sannyasi also will not free one from bondage, will not free one from sorrow. Which means, this external appearance of a sannyasi, that the saffron clothes, etc., and giving up actions, etc., actually is a sannyasi lakshanam. But merely giving up actions is not really jnana. Here, I want to tell you one important point. Generally, scriptures talk about the sannyasaha. They say, whoever wants moksha, and they have to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, because there is no way of discovering, there is no way of attaining moksha other than knowing moksha. Knowing moksha means discovering the happiness which is already there. The very end itself is something which is not to be accomplished, which is already there. You are searching for something which is already there. Therefore, it is something to be known, not to be attained. That is why we say it repeatedly, it is the knowledge what you need. Knowing what happiness is, in fact, attaining happiness. Knowing what happiness is, in fact, freeing yourself from unhappiness, which is the ultimate end. Therefore, one has to commit oneself to this pursuit of this knowledge, knowing the value of this knowledge, So commit, once a person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, all that he needs to do is he needs to study the Shastram systematically, regularly, with the help of a competent teacher for a length of time. Continuously one has to study the Shastram. So the whoever commits oneself totally to the pursuit of knowledge, to exclusion of all other social obligatory duties, is a sannyasi. So that person may wear a saffron clothes or may not wear a saffron clothes. If there is a purushartha nischayaha, who is a sannyasi? If there is purushartha nischayaha means if a person is definite about one's end being moksha, if a person is definite about this moksha being a choiceless end, and if a person knows the value of knowledge, then naturally his passion will be only for knowledge. The passion being only for knowledge, naturally there is no passion toward anything else in the world. That person is said to be dispassionate, vairagi, viragavan purushaha. Vairagyam, viragi, no, viragi, viragi means the one who has vairagyam, a dispassionate person. He is called patratravan. Okay, so vairagyavan purushaha, the one who has vairagyam means vairagyam is the most important qualification. The dispassionate person. The dispassionate person is a sannyasi. The dispassionate means what? He has no passion towards anything else, which means he has grown out of desire for everything else in the world. He is no more interested in artha, kama, dharma pursuits. Why? Because not that he is hating artha, kama, dharma. He has lived his life. He has been pursuing artha, kama, dharma, and therefore he has learned from his own life's experiences and has understood the limitations of everything in life, that nothing in the world, nothing in the life is permanent. Everything being impermanent, the impermanent thing cannot give him the permanent happiness. An impermanent thing, a time-bound thing, cannot give a timeless, everlasting, permanent sukham, happiness. This is the understanding. To have this understanding, one must be intellectually very sharp. When I say it, you may think, oh, such a simple thing, what is a big deal? Impermanent thing cannot give me permanent happiness. Simple statement. But for one to really see the meaning of this sentence, that in this life, all, that's why in Bhajagovindam, Adishankara Bhagavad Padaha, no, this Bhajagovindam is also called Moha Mudgaraha. Mudgaraha means a hammer. No, he really hammers. No, how we are deluded, not knowing the limitations of everything. We do not know all that we are enjoying in life, all those things people are attached to, the things we are attached to, in the sense here, nothing in this world will really give you, is capable of giving you what you are seeking. This is a fact. And this fact, we do not really think about, we do not understand by ourselves. Even if others tell you also, you may see other person like a mad person, because this is a fact, isn't it? For one to have this, to see this fact, to see the truth in this fact, that nothing in this world is permanent. Everything in this world is ephemeral, time-bound, which means the time-bound the things, time-bound relationships, time-bound, you know, everything, nothing can give me permanent happiness. This is a fact. To unsee the fact, truth in this fact, to see this, to understand this, one must be intelligent. And to that intellectual sharpness requires to understand this fact also, one must have lived a life, lived his life properly, a life of dharma for some time. That is why we always emphasize dharma. Living a life of dharma is in fact to become intellectually sharp. ultimately, living a life of dharma will bless one with intellectual sharpness required to appreciate the subtle facts. Once you understand this fact, then naturally, if these things cannot give me what I really seek, my permanent everlasting happiness, peace is not in any of these things. Nothing in the world can give. No? Then why should I go after them? This understanding of the limitations of everything in the world now helps one to grow out of desire for everything else in the world. It's called naturally, without being forced by others, without being told by others, compelled by others, one has to understand oneself. This way, understanding born maturity is dispassion. One must have the understanding, one should really see this. Such a vairagyam, that's called vairagyam, isn't it? That vairagyam, that dispassion towards everything else, is natural and possible only if you discover passion for knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, thereby you become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then you are a sannyasi. Then your total commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge. Means all your time, how do you spend? You are always with the Shastram, the scriptures. You study the scriptures, you talk about scriptures, you share, discuss scriptures. Whoever comes to you, you be with the scripture. That is what sannyasi is supposed to do. For all the time, mind is only with the Shastram. While sleeping, while eating, while drinking, while walking, while talking, the mind must be only in Shastram. Why? Because Shastram is the only means of knowledge. This person is because of the passion for knowledge. You know, how sometimes we see youngsters, because the passion for music all the time, you know, they plug their ears with the music. I really wonder, all the time, while driving, while drinking, while eating, while sleeping, even sleeping, they put the, sometimes I hear some drum noise and all that. And they put it and then they forget to turn it off, they sleep. Because that is the passion, isn't it? Here, this sannyasi's passion, the mature individual's passion for knowledge means all the time, any time you get, the time is only for Shastra, not for anything else. Such a commitment if a person has, that person is a sannyasi. Doesn't matter whether the person is wearing saffron robes or not. But here we have a lifestyle called, you know, this is Jnana Yoga Sadhanam, is the sadhanam for which there is a lifestyle designed, and that lifestyle is called Sannyasa Ashramaha. So when a person, as a dispassionate, mature individual, when a person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then all his time he spends studying Shastram. This person, the sannyasi, you know, he has no obligatory duties. He is called Vividisha Sannyasi. There are two types of sannyasis. One sannyasi is called Vividisha Sannyasi. Vetum Icha Yasya Saha Vividisha. No, Vetum Icha Yasya Saha Vividishuhu. So, Vividisha Sannyasi means, Vividisha means desire to know. So, the sannyasi, one who is desirous of knowing the truth, knowing the Atma, knowing the truth of the whole, he is a Vividisha Sannyasi. And that is such a sannyasi is free from social obligatory duties. His only time is to study the Shastram. And because he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge in Shastram, his basic needs are taken care of by society. The food, the shelter, There is a culture, because there is the Indian India, that provision is there, that culture is such, sadhus are taken care of. I mean, basic needs. Don't need to provide everything. It's not cold country, so don't need to give them jackets and things. In Rishikesh, we may have to give. In South India, you don't need to give. The basic food and shelter, you know, we have to provide. Society has to take care of sannyasis. It's like typically like how any government, any universities, how the research scholars are looked after. How are they looked after? When they contribute all their time for research work, and all their needs, the funding is taken care of by some companies and some the government of departments. The same way, because the totally time is offered, is given to the research work, means they should not have any worry about anything. So that they contribute, is it? They'll contribute tomorrow. So they're taken care of. Similarly, here, in that such culture has been there in India, the person who's totally committed to this pursuit, and he is taken care of. The sannyasis are taken care of. They don't need to work and earn their money. The basic needs are taken care of. All that the person needs to do is, the mind must be with Shastram, with the Guru. That's all. So this person doesn't need to attend any of this social, you know, functions. So no obligatory duties are not there. He is a Vidisha sannyasi. There's one more sannyasi called a Vidvat sannyasi. Now Vidvat sannyasi means the one who has become wise. A jnani sannyasi is called Vidvat sannyasi. This person, whether he lived a life of karma yoga or he lived a life of jnana yoga, sannyasa rashrama, but if this person has become jnani, then having become jnani, this person, even if he is wearing colored dress, still he is a sannyasi, vidvat sannyasi, which means he has not given up anything. Yes, the one who has this knowledge of the self is free from all the wrong notions he has about himself. The one who is free from the wrong notions about the self, who's the one who can be free from the wrong notions about the self? The person who knows the self. The one who is ignorant of the self has all notions about himself which are wrong notions. This wise person who knows the self, who knows the truth as his own self, such a person is free from all the wrong notions he has about himself. Therefore, he is free from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This being free from this wrong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is in fact, is what? Sannyasaha. Okay, it's called Vidvat Sannyasi. Vidvat Sannyasi is the one who has not, the one who has given up the activities. Physically, he has not given up any activities. He is still performing actions. Okay, physically being very active, performing actions also. The person, because of his self-knowledge, one who is free from the wrong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that person is called Vidvat Sannyasi. Is it clear? Therefore, physically renouncing actions, giving up actions, does not make one wise. In fact, even a wise person cannot give up physical activities. Even the wise person also, what he gives up is not the activities. He does not give up anything. In fact, he becomes free from the hold of wrong notions he had about himself, that he is a doer, enjoyer, etc. I am the doer is a notion one has about oneself. I am the doer, I am the performer, I am the achiever, isn't it? That notion is there. How long a person can have that notion? As long as one is ignorant of oneself. As long as one has identity with one's upadhis, one's body, this body, mind, sense complex, this material personality, the physical, emotional, intellectual personalities, as long as one has identity with this physical body, mind, sense complex, not knowing one's real nature, one can have this entertained this notion, I am a performer, I am the, you know, I am the doer. But in the wake of knowledge of the self being identical with Bhagavan, Paramatma, one becomes free from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Therefore, even a wise person cannot become free from physical activity. Okay, physical, giving up of physical activities is impossible. Physical activities are inevitable. Understand? One has to perform physical activities. But what he is free from is the notion that I am the doer. Therefore, that Vidvat Sannyasi is also the wise person, and the Jnani is also performing actions, has to perform actions, but he becomes free from the notion, I am the doer. He is called Vidvat Sannyasi. Understand? Of this, Vividisha Sannyasi is the one who wants to know the truth. Being desirous of knowing the truth, one who is committed to live a life of sannyasa, one who is given to the pursuit of knowledge, one who is totally committed to this jnana yoga lifestyle, and he is a vidisha sannyasi. But whether a person living a life of karma yoga, then having discovered dispassion as a mature individual, they become being prepared mentally, becoming pure and steady mentally, if a person is given to the pursuit of knowledge, then he attains, na? He wants to know. That's a person is Vividisha Sannyasi. And having attained Jnanam, he becomes Vidvat Sannyasi. So Vividisha Sannyasaha, before knowledge, after Jnanam, Vidvat Sannyasaha. Isn't it? So Sannyasaha does not mean giving up physical activities. Even a sannyasi, as a Vividisha sannyasi, also has to do certain sannyasi duties, which is in tradition, it is represented by his danda he has. Like a karma yogi has his own duties, and which is represented by his sacred thread. Anyway, that's all not relevant for you, but telling you. In which, what I'm saying, karma yogi has his own duties. You know, sannyasi has his own ashrama dharma. As a jnani, as a vidvat sannyasi also, any wise person is vidvat sannyasi. Any wise person, jnani, is a vidvat sannyasi. What can he give up in his life? Nothing. He has to perform all the actions, activities. What is he free from? Notion, I am the doer. Understand? That is why sannyasanate siddhim na samadhi gacchati. Okay, we saw that also yesterday. Later on, I entered into the next topic. I said, I explained karma yoga yesterday. I said proper performance of proper actions with proper attitude converts one's actions into karma yoga. All of us are supposed to perform actions. We have no choice about performing actions. What is that which makes our karma into karma yoga? It is the attitude with which we perform our actions. Isn't it? Therefore, a karma yogi, first thing, he must have this purushartha nischaya. If a person has to be a karma yogi, for one to everyone, once you know, living a life of karma yoga is the sadhanam, is the only way you can purify your mind. You can become qualified for jnanam, which is moksha. Who will not be interested in karma yoga? Isn't it? It's all a question of knowing the value. Nobody is really disinterested in anything. For everyone and anyone to become interested in anything, they should know the value of that. Here also, do you want to live a life of karma yoga? If we go and ask somebody, karma yoga? Some people don't even understand. People, they say this expression, I want to do karma yoga. I tell you one thing, we can never do karma yoga. We only do karma. Okay, yoga is simply attitude. It's a wrong expression. I am doing karma yoga. If anybody says, please understand, I have made up my mind. I cannot finish the whole third chapter this time. Okay, because as soon as I entered, already Suhasdeva asked me to go slowly and things. So I decided, let me go slowly because these are the important things. If I go by text, I have to hurry, rush, then I won't be able to really do my justice. I want to bring out all Shankara's Bhasham, very beautiful everything, isn't it? I don't want to miss out anything. If we have our classes. Raja also agreed with me, as our understanding is more important than finishing everything in a hurry. Okay, what I want to say, see, it is the expression, I am doing karma yoga. Many people come and tell me this. Please understand, it is a wrong expression. We are not doing karma yoga. Understand? Karma yoga is a sadhanam, is a means to accomplish something. So what can you accomplish? What is the end that you can accomplish by using this karma yoga as a means? Karma yoga is a lifestyle, isn't it? You have to live a life of karma yoga. It's a way of life. What is karma yoga? Point one, you have to remember, karma yoga is a way of life. In fact, the entire way of life, sanatanaha dharmaha, the eternal way of life, as Tyagaraja says, Rajamargamu, Chakkani Rajamargamu, you know, this royal path laid in front of you, going through which you will attain the destination successfully, effortlessly, enjoy, you know, the whole journey will be enjoyable journey if you go by this path. You know, what is this? The eternal way of life. Is it? Why call it eternal way of life? This way of life is applicable, isn't it? Suitable for any people of any time, any place. Therefore, all the people also. And what is this lifestyle? Live a life of karma yoga. Become mentally pure and steady. Then be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Follow jnana yoga. Then attain jnanam. Then discover freedom. Or take ownership of freedom which is already there. This is the way of life. This is how one has to live one's life. It's a Vedic way of life. The way of life enjoined by the Veda Shastra. This is Vaidika Dharma. So here, Karma Yoga, therefore I am doing the Karma Yoga is a wrong expression, why I am saying? Because we always perform karma. We are not doing yoga. We are doing karma. But all that karma, any karma we do, we convert it into yoga. Converting karma into yoga means what? Yoga means anything which prepares your mind for jnanam is yoga. If the mind, if the karma you do, whatever you do, it can be drinking tea, going to toilet, socializing, going to work, doing any of your personal duties or professional work, anything you do, whatever you do, you're winking, you're falling asleep, you're dreaming, any small karma, anything and everything you do, that karma, if it can contribute for your maturity, emotional maturity, if it can contribute for antahkarna shuddhi, mental purity and mental steadiness, then that karma is what? Convert into yoga. That karma is karma yoga. Isn't it? Which means, which karma you can convert into yoga? The whole, all that you do becomes a yoga. Understand? Which means all the karma you do can become yoga means what? The whole life can be become karma yoga. The whole life, all your actions can become karma yoga. But how to convert? So to convert the karma into yoga, first thing you need to do is bringing Bhagavan into your life. If Bhagavan is brought into our actions, brought into our life, then karma becomes yoga. What do you mean by saying bringing Bhagavan into one's life? Bringing Ishvara into one's life. How can I bring Bhagavan into my life? Every day singing bhajans, going to temples, it's all good. Every day if you can go to temples, every day you can sing bhajans, well and good. Please do it. But what I'm saying, really how you bring Bhagavan into your life, it means you get closer to Bhagavan, Bhagavan become closer to you, when? Only when you surrender offer all your actions to Bhagavan. When yesterday said, Ishvara Arpana Buddhya Karma Karanam, performing one's actions, as an offering to Bhagavan. How can you offer all your actions to Bhagavan? Just the attitude. And your actions become offered to Bhagavan only when you live your day, life, every day remembering, thinking, I am living this life. Every one day of my span of life is gone today. This day of my span of life is gone today. In my lifespan, I don't know how many years Bhagavan has ordained for me. In those years of ordained for, the span of life ordained for me, one day has gone. Next day has gone. Every day has, every hour has gone. Isn't it? Thinking in every day when you live, I am living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavat Swarupam, Ishvara Swarupam, which is the truth of the universe, which is, as my own Swarupam. I am living this life to discover the reality, the truth. Because discovery of the truth is in fact discovery of happiness and permanent peace and happiness which I have been choicelessly seeking through all my pursuits. If that is very clear, then this life becomes what? All your actions become offered to Bhagavan. Then I said, when you perform actions also, definitely whether I like it or not, I expect the results or not, definitely all the actions I perform produce results. No action goes without producing any result. That therefore we don't need to tell others, no, do your actions without expecting a result. You don't need to say that at all. Whether we expect results or not, definitely all the actions we perform produce results. Isn't it? That is niyati. That is law of karma. Therefore, if all the results are produced means, and those results are determined by natural laws. And that therefore laws are Bhagavan, as they said, the laws are Bhagavan. The laws are Daivam. We say, therefore, the law ordained results, law determined results are Lord determined results. And we do not have say over those results. We have no choice over the results. Therefore, once you understand those results are determined by law in keeping with my own punya papas, means I see all those results as prasada, then I accept them with sameness of mind. This is prasada buddhihi, isn't it? It is this attitude in seeing everything as prasada which converts your life into a life of karma yoga. It is this attitude that I perform these actions, you know, as offering to Bhagavan, converts your actions into yoga. Not only that, above all, the most important thing is any action I do. We are all individuals. We all have our own different roles. Every individual has to play different roles, not one role, isn't it? You are a father at home. Once you go out, you are a friend, you are an officer, or you are a professional. And every individual has to play different roles. And in playing every role, what you need to do is only action. So in doing, in playing every role, in performing all your actions, you have to take care. You have to be very conscious. You see that all your actions are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong. Which means all one's actions must be in conformity with dharma. Conformity with universal values. I don't want to go into the details. How to know what is right and what is wrong? I'm not going into the details now. Because you all know what is right and what is wrong. Based on what you expect from others in terms of behavior. Therefore, you know what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, see that your actions are in conformity with values. This is most important thing. Only your actions are in conformity with dharma, which means your actions are not governed by your own personal likes and dislikes. They're not determined by your personal whims and fancies. You're determined by your knowledge of right and wrong. Which means then your will is surrendered to dharma. I always emphasize, Apuja Swamiji emphasizes this point, now surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. Whenever you talk about this topic of karma yoga, please understand it's a very important thing, surrendering one's will to dharma. You know, surrendering one's will to dharma is in fact surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. People talk about Sharanagati all the time. Sharanagati, Sharanagati. I surrender everything to Bhagavan and live your life. Then it is easy. Surrendering oneself to Bhagavan means what? Is it simply saying it in orally? There is no way of surrendering oneself to Bhagavan other than surrendering one's will to dharma. Will means the capacity to choose to do a given action is called will, willpower. Isn't it? We all have that willpower. We can choose to do a right action. We can choose to do a wrong action. We can choose to do a different action also. We have the choice. We have that willpower. That is called willpower. And then who? You individual, you human being alone are blessed with this special power. Freedom, faculty of choice. The faculty of freedom. You are blessed with this freedom. Okay, faculty of choice. No other animal in the world is blessed with this, you know, this choice, the free will. The will is not there for animals. That is why no animal can do any harm to the society. Society in the sense, no harm to the other beings. Because they can never violate the order. Other animals, other beings cannot violate the universal law and order. The human beings alone can violate the order. Why? Because we are blessed with the free will. We can do wrong actions. Our actions can really rub against the universal law and order. That's why we have to use our will. We can abuse or use. Understand? The willpower is given. Therefore, whenever our actions are not in conformity with dharma, values, then we are abusing our will. If our actions are in conformity with dharma, the values, then we are not abusing, we are consciously, carefully, prudently using our will. Understand? Because whether I like it or not, I do it if it is right. Whether I like it or not, I do not do it, I refrain from that action if it is wrong. Understand? Who is there to see you? Your own conscience. Manasakshi, you know whether it is right or wrong. That is why we don't need to see whether others are watching me or not. I am watching myself. I know whether it is right or wrong to my conscience, isn't it? Therefore, I know what is right and I know what is wrong. Therefore, I see I have my own likes and dislikes, ragadveshas, but my actions are not governed by my likes and dislikes, but my actions are governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, I do the right whether I like it or not. I refrain from the wrong even if whether I like it or not, which means my will is surrendered to dharma. Understand? The person who uses the will, carefully avoids abusing one's will, is the one who has surrendered his will to dharma. In fact, dharma is what? We are going to see it later on. Dharana dharma iti uchyate. Dharma iti uchyate. That which sustains, upholds everything, the universal law and order is dharma here. So Bhagavan is in the form of law and order. The one who surrenders one's will to dharma is the one who surrenders one's will to Bhagavan. The surrendering one's will to Bhagavan, how can you surrender your will to Bhagavan? Only by committing yourself to live a life of dharma, universal values. Understand? It is very important, because without living a life of dharma, there cannot be yoga. Okay? Because it is very important. It is a commitment to live a life of dharma helps you to be free from being a split personality. Understand? That is why Bhagavad Gita emphasizes this integration, the identity, the alignment of thought, word and deed. What I say, what I speak, what I do are in alignment, must be in alignment, must be identical. Which means, that is why the surrendering one's will to dharma, surrendering one's will to Bhagavan, which is the relative sharanagati. I taught you in our class already, but still I am telling you today as part of this class, isn't it? Therefore, it is this commitment to live a life of dharma, conversion, not simply commitment, living a life of dharma values, converts your action into yoga. Understand? That is why even in second chapter, there is an important verse on karma yoga, where it is said, yogaha karmasu kaushalam. There, I am pointing out here, the word kaushalam, people translate that word as what? Perfection in action is yoga. Efficiency in action is yoga. Skill in action is yoga. They all say, our Pujya Swamiji humorously, he used to say, if you simply say perfection in action is yoga, or skill in action is yoga, any pickpocketer, any dacoit, murderer, they all very perfect, highly skilled people, isn't it? How they come, how they lock, they break the lock, how they steal things and they go away, we don't know. If mere perfection in action, a skill in action is yoga, means any thief will become a yogi. Isn't it? It is not mere perfection in our skill in action. It is the discretion in action. Whether it is right or wrong, it is yoga, he said. The discretion in action implies one's action being righteous action. One's action being what? Must being in conformity with dharma. This is what is surrendering one's will to dharma, surrendering one's will to Ishvara. Therefore, these are three important things we have to understand. It is this commitment to living a life of dharma converts one's actions into yoga. Ishvara arpana buddhihi converts one's action into yoga. And prasada buddhihi converts one's action into yoga. Therefore, viveka buddhihi, Ishvara viveka buddhihi means what? No? right and wrong buddhi, isn't it? Viveka buddhihi, then Ishwarpana buddhihi, then prasada buddhihi. Here the word buddhihi means attitude. Understand? I told you in Bhagavad Gita, from the third chapter, the first verse, the word buddhi means knowledge. The second verse, the word buddhi means intellect and mind. And here the word buddhi means attitude. Is it clear? This is the attitude. This is how you can convert your actions into yoga. This is how you surrender yourself to dharma, your will to dharma, thereby surrender yourself to Bhagavan. That is how you bring Bhagavan into your life. Such a person's life, such a person who lives this life of karma yoga, in fact, is the one. We're going to see every, there's so many verses which are going to explain the same thing here. Therefore, this person is a real devotee. He is a real bhaktaha. He is a jignasu bhaktaha. Understand? This is also, who is a bhakta here? This bhakta here is a karma yogi, is the real bhaktaha. That is why you cannot separate, you cannot see, what about bhakti? Can we not attain Bhagavan through bhakti? What is karma yoga then? Hey, there is no bhakti without being a karma yogi. Understand? There is no karma yogi without a bhakta. Bhakti here. So, bhakti here means, what is real devotion? Praying to Bhagavan is bhakti. Worshipping Bhagavan is bhakti, no doubt. But desire to know Bhagavan means what? Desire to attain Bhagavan means desire to know Bhagavan. Okay, I want to attain Bhagavan. Bhagavan is sitting somewhere, I want to go and attain him, reach him. Okay? That is won't work here. Shastram says, desire to know who Bhagavan is. In fact, desire to know what the truth is, what the reality is. In fact, desire to know what I am. This is what is desire for knowledge alone is real devotion. And this karma yogi is a real bhaktaha. And he is a spiritual person. And who has this attitude and whose actions are proper actions. Such a person's actions, really, we do not know. Really, they contribute a lot. This life of activity for contribution. Okay? This much you have to understand. So we have to go to the verse where we left yesterday. Okay. There, Krishna said, second thing, it is not possible for one to remain without doing karma. It is not possible, whoever it is. Why? Because every human being here is endowed with twofold personality, spiritual and material. And this material personality, if we take the body, mind, sense complex, you know, being the material personality, it has all the three gunas. All of us are endowed with the three gunas. What are the three gunas? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. These gunas are, you don't need to say, I have guna, you have guna. All of us are gunas. Understand here? Who has everything that is here is only gunas. Suppose if we see a golden chain, somebody is wearing a gold chain. No? And what is the gold chain? The gold chain is glittering. It is yellow in color. What does it mean? The gold color, the yellow color, the glittering, the shining, the luster, the glow, it belongs to the gold, isn't it? What belongs to the gold becomes what now? Karanasya gunaha karya anuvartate. The quality of the cause is seen in the effect also. Can you ask, why is this chain yellow in color? Why is this chain shining or glittering? You will not ask, why? A chain is the effect, the product of the, you see, it's a golden product. Therefore, it has the qualities of the chain, also has the qualities of the gold. Similarly, the matter, original matter has these three powers. What are those three powers? The power of knowing, the power of activity, and the power of inertia. Sattvagunaha, Rajogunaha, Tamogunaha are nothing but names given to the manifest powers. The power of activity which you see when we all of us are doing, what all our activities are what? Expression of the power of manifestation of power of activity. We all have the power to act, isn't it? Similarly, the power of knowing, the power of knowing. Because we are all blessed with the power of knowing, we are all able to hear and listen and understand. Similarly, the power of inertia. Even if the tea is provided, still we feel sometimes dull. That is also what? Power of inertia, isn't it? Therefore, all these three powers, the manifest powers, are given the names. Okay, the power of knowing is said to be what? Sattvagunaha. The power of activity is said to be Rajogunaha. The power of inertia is said to be Tamogunaha. These gunas are nothing but names given to the manifest powers. You cannot separate these powers. All the powers are there, okay, everywhere, in all of us. Here, the proportion of these gunas may differ from person to person. One can be predominantly sattvic, one can be predominantly rajasic, one can be predominantly tamasic. So the proportion may vary from person to person, but all of us have all these. Like how cholesterol, sugar, everything all of us have, but the proportion, the degree varies, isn't it? And that is when we have to take care. Anyway, here also may vary. So in keeping with the predominance of our gunas, our actions are really happening. So we have no say over our own actions. Nobody can ever remain without doing any actions, because these actions are choicelessly, helplessly caused by these gunas. Understand? The manifest powers of the matter. Therefore, one has to do karma. So Krishna is beautifully telling, hey Arjuna, you want to escape from action. You're asking me this question, whether I should do action or not. Do I go for pursuit of knowledge? So he, having explained the two sadhanas and having explained the importance of karma, now Krishna is saying why one has to do karma. Why there's no choice about doing karma. He's explaining that. Okay, we'll go to next verse now. It's all yesterday's classes. Yastvindriyani manasa. Okay, sorry. Karmendriyani sayamya. Ya aste manasa smaran. Indriyarthan vimodhatma. Mithyacharasya uchyate. Karmendriyani sayamya. Ya aste manasa smaran. Indriyarthan vimodhatma. Mithyacharasya uchyate. Now Krishna says, previously he said, it is not possible for one to remain without performing any action. Why? Because every human being is what? Driven by his own nature, his own swabhava, his own the guna is driven to perform the actions. Now he is saying, suppose if a person sits, you know, claiming oneself to be a sannyasi. I am a sannyasi. I have renounced. I am wearing saffron clothes. So I don't need to perform any actions. Because it means what? Sannyasi means I don't need to do any actions. If somebody sits, But what does this person do? Karmani, indriyahi, manasa, you know, what he does? He physically gives up the activities, but mentally he is dwelling upon things. He presents himself to be a sannyasi who has given up interest in many things. But mentally he is dwelling upon things. But now because he is wearing this dress, he cannot go for, you know, what he really desires mentally. It is a pain, isn't it? At least others who are not sannyasis, when simple people, they have desires, they can go and fulfill their desires. But this person, wearing saffron robes, claiming himself to be a sannyasi, but having desires in the mind, he cannot fulfill his desires. Why? Because he can't go, because sannyasi has given up, isn't it? So mentally entertaining desires, mentally still having passion for things, simply giving up actions, simply showing oneself to be a sannyasi does not really make one a sannyasi. Isn't it? That's why giving up actions is really a wrong thinking and wrong idea. That's why he says here, Hacha said to be mithyacharaha. Mithyacharaha means he is a hypocrite. Isn't it? Therefore, one should not be given to hypocrisy. Krishna says, karma indriyani sayamya. Without doing any activities, now one sits. Which means what? One does, I have given up everything. I am not interested in anything. So, I am not performing any actions. He does not perform actions. So, karma indriyani sayamya aste means, one sits without performing any physical activity. Isn't it? Which means one does not fulfill his desires, one does not perform any actions, he simply sits as a lazy person. But what does he do? Manasa smaran. Indriyarthan manasa smaran. Indriyarthan means thinking of these sense objects, mentally dwelling upon these sense objects. This person, mentally he is dwelling upon sense objects, but physically he is not fulfilling his desires. He is not performing actions. He is simply sitting there. Such a person is a hypocrite. Therefore, hypocrisy does not help one attain anything. You are missing the simple pleasures of this world because you are cheating. You are missing. And you will not be qualified for jnanam. You will never attain parasukham also. You are missing ihasukham, you are going to miss the parasukham also. You are not able to enjoy even these pleasures freely. How are you going to be qualified for enjoying the moksha sukham? So, we'll see next verse. Yastvindriyani manasa. Niyamyarabhate Arjuna Karmendriyai Karma Yogam Asaktasavisishyate Yastvindriyani Manasa Niyamyarabhate Arjuna Karmendriyai Karma Yogam Asaktasavisishyate Whereas the person who performs actions, yaha karmendriyaihi karma yogam arabhate, is it? One who performs actions as yoga. Performing one's actions as yoga means what? Performing one's actions means performing proper actions with the proper attitude, with a commitment to dharma, in conformity with dharma, knowing the value of dharma, and a person performs his actions as yoga, which means karmendriyani samyamya, sanyamya means having mastery over his senses, having mastery over his mind, having mastery over his, even his organs of actions. What does it mean? Having mastery over one's mind, senses and organs of actions means what? Means, see, using one's knowledge of right and wrong. We always have buddhi, no? It's called common sense. You know what is common sense? All of us are blessed with this knowledge of right and wrong. All of us know. That is why it's all of us are having, therefore it's called common sense. We all know what is right, what is wrong. This buddhi, isn't it? This buddhi we can use or we need not use. If we use this buddhi, means we make use of this buddhi, this knowledge of right and wrong, then we become karma yogis. If we do not make use of this buddhi, then Bhagavan says, buddhi is, you are blessed with the buddhi, this knowledge of right and wrong, but you are not making use of it, you are not spending the buddhi, therefore you are maisar, kripanaha. He is going to say later on. Now, who is a kripanaha or karmi? In Tamil also we have this word karmi, isn't it? Karmi or kripanaha means a miser. A stingy, conjuice person is miser, is kripanaha karmi. So one who does not spend money is a karmi, kripanaha. He has a lot of money but has no heart to spend anything. He is a karmi, and here Bhagavan has given all of us blessed with what? Buddhi, abundance of knowledge of right and wrong. What is right and what is wrong? How to know? How I expect others? What I expect from others in terms of behavior? How others should behave with me? What all I expect from others? How they should behave with me? I know very well. If my actions are, you know, based on what I expect from others in terms of behavior, then my actions are right actions. Understand now? If I know what is right, my knowledge of right and wrong is based on what I expect from others in terms of behavior, therefore all of us are blessed with this knowledge. It's called common sense, isn't it? This buddhi we have to use. We have this knowledge. We do not use it. We forget that we have this buddhi. But no, therefore the one who uses this buddhi, this knowledge of right and wrong, that using what now? Carefully performs the right, does the right, refrains from the wrong. Therefore, using one's knowledge of right and wrong, you know, being committed to do the right, the capacity to refrain from wrong is in fact having mastery over one's mind and senses. Is it clear now? Therefore, karmendriyani sanyamya, in what, having mastery over one's mind means using one's knowledge of right and wrong, using that, you know, performing one's actions in conformity with one's knowledge of right and wrong, in conformity with the values. One who begins to perform his actions as yoga with the proper attitude, such a person is not a mithyacharaha, he is the person of proper acharaha. Isn't it? Saha visishyate. Visishyate means what? He excels. Who excels? Karma yogi excels. He does not say, I don't want that, I'm not interested in that. He doesn't say, he is not a hypocrite. This person has desires, has genuine desires. He wants to fulfill his desires. He wants to enjoy what he wants to enjoy. Nothing wrong. Artha, kama, dharma, all these pursuits are said to be pursuits. They are meant to be pursued. You can accomplish artha, kama, dharma. Not that you are living only moksha. Of course, what you ultimately seek through all the artha, kama, dharma is moksha only. Definitely what you are ultimately seeking is moksha. You do not know that what you are ultimately seeking is moksha. The day you discover this fact that what you are ultimately seeking through artha, kama, dharma is moksha, then you are a spiritual person. Your pursuit becomes, isn't it? You become different, that's all. Otherwise, artha, kama, dharmas are the pursuits one can pursue. But pursuit of artha, kama, dharma are only... what now? Relative ends, the subservience for the ultimate end, moksha. One can pursue, but one, to pursue any end means one has to perform actions. But when a person has to perform actions, one has to be conscious of one's knowledge of right and wrong. One has to make use of one's knowledge of right and wrong. Now, remembering, being conscious of knowledge of right and wrong and making use of it means living a life of dharma. In fact, that is how this karma yogi, with the proper attitude, when he begins to perform, when he performs his actions as yoga, this person excels. He excels means he will be the accomplisher. He will accomplish. He does not cheat himself. He enjoys this life and he'll enjoy later on this karma yoga lifestyle which he lives now. By helping him to prepare his mind, later on it's going to bless him with the knowledge also. Through preparation for knowledge, it's going to bless him with knowledge, help bless him with moksha later on. So with this, all the seven verses. So first two verses consists of Arjuna's questions, and these five verses, verse number 2 to 7, all these five verses, Bhagavan actually answers Arjuna's questions. Now, from this 8th verse onwards, Krishna is going to, this 8th verse onwards till the 20th verse, at least if we can finish that, I will be very happy. Okay, 8th to 20th, 12 verses. The 12 verses discuss, elaborately discuss the karma yoga, the main topic of this chapter. In fact, what is discussed as the karma yoga here is the most important topic, which is for the entire Gita. Okay, verse number 8th to 20th. The actual subject matter of this chapter, Karma Yoga, is discussed mainly in these verses. We are going to understand Karma Yoga now better. Now Krishna says, Niyatam Kuru Karma Tvam Karma Jayo Hya Karmanaha Sharira Yatra Pichate Na Prasiddheda Karmanaha. Krishna says here, why one should do karma? Of course, as a mumukshu, as the one who is desirous of moksha, as the one who is a jignasu, as the one who wants to know the reality, one who wants to know the self, as the one who wants to accomplish the absolute end, one has to perform one's duties, all one's actions in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude, which converts one's actions into yoga, which you know. Apart from the Krishna first says, one has to perform karma, isn't it? Krishna says, Niyatam karma kuru. Hey Arjuna, may you perform all those prescribed duties. Niyatam karma kuru. You do your own duties, know your duties and do your duties. Niyatam karma kuru. And when you do your duties also, how you should do? With proper attitude. How you should do? In conformity with dharma. Your own duty becomes yoga if it is performed with proper attitude, with Ishwararpana buddhi, you do it. In conformity with dharma, you do it. Then what? And there is no anxiety on your part, because this anxiety will be there only for the person who is worried about what's going to be the result. The karma yogi is always cool. Whatever comes, he is already ready. The preparedness to face any result which is going to come as prasada. What is going to come is prasada. Once you see everything as prasada, therefore already this person is very cool, isn't it? Therefore here he does it, niyatam karma kuru. Karma jayaha akarmanaha. Performance of actions is always better, superior to non-performance of actions. You know why? Two reasons. One reason, if you do not do what is to be done by you, I tell you, you will end up doing what should not be done, what need not be done. Be careful. No, I won't do anything. You have no choice. If you don't do what you need to do, you will end up doing what need not be done, what should not be done. The better you do what has to be done by you. One reason. Second reason, if you do not do anything, what will happen? Our cholesterol, sugar, I know what is happening because I don't go for walking. You know, they tell you, sharira yatra api na prasidhyet. Even maintenance of the body will not be possible for the laziest person or the lazy person. Isn't it? Even one has to, whether you contribute a lot to the world or not, you have to do something for what you are consuming. Isn't it? We all consume. No, you don't, we definitely are consuming, and how are you going to contribute? Only when you do something, you can contribute back. We grab everything, take everything, eat everything, enjoy everything, but don't give back anything, isn't it? So if you have to contribute something back to society, you have to do the karma. So here, whether you contribute to the society, the world or not, at least you need to do something for what you are consuming. Otherwise, whatever you consume will make you, put on you. And sai sharira yatra api na prasidhyet. Even body maintenance is sharira yatra, means maintenance of the body also will be difficult. It's not possible. Na prasidhyet akarmanaha, for the one who is inactive, for the one who is lazy, the non-performer of actions. Simple thing. Okay, now we'll go to the next one. See, Bhagavan Krishna, he is teaching karma yoga here. What is, what it is? Living a life of karma yoga. What is karma yoga? I've already said. But here, we can see karma yoga, you know, from different view angles. There's a many, we can see karma yoga as here, if you live a life of karma yoga, you will become mentally pure and steady, thereby you will become eligible for the pursuit of knowledge. Thereby you will attain knowledge and you attain moksha. Isn't it? If you do not live a life of karma yoga, what will happen? Isn't it? Here Shastram says, you have to choicelessly live a life of karma yoga. It is like See, there are mature people and immature people. Listen, for the mature people, if the laws and regulations, suppose you have to pay your tax, is a law, you know, income tax you have to pay, file your taxes. And a mature person knows, I'm enjoying everything in this place, I'm earning, so I enjoy all the benefits here, so I had to pay my tax back. That is how you, as a mature person, you need not be frightened. You will go and pay. But there are people, I don't know about this country, very, I think here, okay? And in India, people always, I don't hear people may not do that, no? They try to avoid paying taxes sometimes. They may not pay as much as they have to pay. They pay little tax and then they won't show anything. That's what they call Krishna. I mean, black money and all that they keep because they don't pay taxes properly. For such people, you know, if you do not pay your taxes, then there will be raid. You know? And they'll be, suppose they'll be imprisoned. Such punishment is always shown. Punishment is revealed for whom? Punishment is, now you will be sentenced. This punishment has to be shown for whom? For the immature. For the mature people, you need not say anything. They will automatically do. Therefore, if there is an immature person who cannot oblige, who cannot obey the law and order, for such a person, you know, here Krishna presents karma yoga as an order. For whom? For immature person, not for the mature person, isn't it? The immature person is the one who does not know the value of living a life of karma yoga, who does not know the value, the importance of following the rules and regulations. Only for him, isn't it? Only for such a person, the punishment has to be the penalty. The penalty is always to frighten people who do not know the importance of following the rules and regulations, thereby to make them follow the rules and regulations. Is it clear? So here also, the karma yoga is here. Krishna presents karma yoga as an order. Why one has to follow karma yoga? He is going to say that here.
Yajnyartha karmano nyatra, yajnyartha karmano nyatra, lokoyam karma bandhanaha, lokoyam karma bandhanaha, tadartham karma kaunteya, tadartham karma kaunteya, mukta sanga samachara.
Krishna says, hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, samachara, mukta sangaha samachara. Samachara means, may you perform all your duties, all your actions. How? Without being attachment to the fruits of actions. Krishna does not say, perform your actions without expecting the results. Does not say that. In fact, it is not possible for one to perform actions without expecting the result. The very performance of action itself is to, what now? To attain something. Isn't it? To fulfill one's wish and desire. Therefore, without expecting a result, nobody can perform any actions. Here Krishna says, what now? Samachara, perform your actions, how? Mukta sangaha. Without being attached to the results of actions, no, being free from attachment, mukta sangaha. No, being free from attachment. Attachment to what? Without having attachment to the fruits of actions. Without being attached to the fruits of actions means being sure of the actions. When you perform your actions, You are 100% sure, I am definitely going to have the fruits of actions. You will be completely free from anxiety. You know? So be sure you will definitely, there will be results. But whatever the results will be, whether the results will be to your expectation or not, does not matter, there will be results. But whatever those results will be, they are all law ordained, Bhagavan ordained results. Therefore, they are all prasadaha. If whatever I have performed my duty as an offering, then I do not think what it's going to be. I have no anxiety at all. For the person who entertains his prasada buddhihi, there won't be any anxiety. There won't be any fear. Which means there is already readiness, preparedness to accept any. There will be result definitely, but that result, whatever it is going to be, it is going to be the prasada. Therefore, there is already readiness to accept the result, any result. Therefore, there is no anxiety. That is what is what? Not being attached to the fruits of actions. Understand? Mukta sangaha samachara, which means with the proper attitude, you know, may perform these actions. But why you should perform these actions? Yajnarthat, you know, tadartham karma kaunteya, karma samachara, tadartham he kaunteya, tadartham karma samachara. May you perform actions for that sake. What is that? No, yajnarthat. Unless you perform your actions as yoga, in conformity with dharma, there is no way of freeing yourself from bondage. You have no choice. Now, can I do something else? I don't want to live a life of dharma. I don't want to follow karma. I don't want to live a life of karma yoga. I simply want to attend meditation classes somewhere. I simply want to sing bhajans. I simply want to go to the temples and come back. I simply want to do something. I want to do only that. This doesn't matter what you do. Whether you do charity work, whether you sing, you meditate, you go to temples, you worship, you do pujas, it doesn't matter what you do, isn't it? But it must be what? Performed with proper attitude. Whatever you do must be performed with proper attitude. Then, so living a life of karma yoga itself is what? Yajnaha. Yajnaha means worship. Yajnaha means worship. Karma yoga, if you perform all your actions as an offering, and if you accept whatever comes in life as prasada, then all your actions you perform becomes what? Worship. Then the life itself becomes life of worship. See, for a person who lives a life of karma yoga, now for whom, in whose life every fraction of second there is Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan is, because you are conscious of dharma, all the time you are conscious of living a life of values. Dharma, anushtanam is so important for you because you are conscious of all the time values. And this being conscious of values, and commitment to live a life of dharma, the all the time effort to live a life of dharma, isn't it? And the proper attitude of offering all one's actions to Bhagavan. Why? You are very clear, I am living this life ultimately to accomplish moksha. I am pursuing artha, I am working, I am pursuing artha, I am enjoying pleasures, I am living a life of dharma ultimately for moksha. I am not living this life for pursuing artha, kama, dharma. Okay, I'm living this life for moksha, but to live the life, I pursue artha, kama, dharma. Very important. What am I living this life for? Am I living this life for pursuing artha, kama, dharma? Or am I living this life for accomplishing moksha? We must be very, karma yogi is very clear. I am living this life for accomplishing moksha, which is a choiceless end. That is why a karma yogi means a mature person, very mature person. highly mature person known as a karma yogi, because he is conscious of his end. Once you are conscious of moksha being the ultimate end, and you, Bhagavan has come into the picture. Why? Your actions are all offered to Bhagavan. Become offered to Bhagavan. You entertain the attitude of every action I perform is dedicated to Bhagavan, is offering to Bhagavan. Isn't it? Therefore, this, once your actions become offered to Bhagavan and you have the attitude of looking at everything as prasada in your life, then your will is under to dharma. Whatever you do is worship. Isn't it? Anything you perform becomes worship. Not only you don't need to do really a bell in your hand and do arati and tying garlands and malas and offering, doing archanas, that alone is not the worship. Of course that is worship. That is very, very good worship. You have to do paranam, singing, all the pujas, etc. Worship. I'm not saying. They're not worship. But here every small action becomes worship if Ishvara has come into your life. You keep yourself in close association with Bhagavan. How can you keep yourself in close association with Bhagavan? Only by living a life of dharma. Only by performing your actions with an attitude of offering, as an offering to Bhagavan. Only if you see everything which comes in life as prasada. Do you have this attitude? Is there attitude? Bhagavan is there in your life. Okay, then your action becomes yajnaha, worship. Therefore, karma yogaha, living a life of karma yogaha is in fact performance of yajna. It's a worship. The whole life is worship. Work is worship if there is proper attitude. Isn't? Even worship becomes work if there is no proper attitude. I do puja. But there's no proper attitude. Go to temples, there's no proper attitude. Worship becomes work. But work becomes worship. It is what converting, isn't it? Work into worship. Therefore, this person who lives a life, Krishna says, may you live a life of karma yoga, thereby convert your life into a life of worship yajna. No, that's the only way, you can free yourself from bondage. There's no way for bandha nivritti, for freedom from bondage. Knowledge is the only means. For knowledge, jnana yoga, pursuit of knowledge, study of the shastram, nididhyasanam is important. And for which you must be mentally pure and steady, you must be qualified for the jnanam. And for qualification, how are you going to become eligible, how are you going to get yourself cleansed for jnanam, prepared for jnanam, if you don't live a life of karma yoga? Therefore, if you live a life of karma yoga, you will be free from bondage. If you do not live a life of karma yoga, you will remain steeped in bondage forever. Understand? Understand? So Krishna here presents karma yoga as an order. Yajnarthat karmanaha anyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. This world here is bound by karma. Other than living a life of karma yoga, other than converting your life into a life of worship by living a life of karma yoga, this world is what now bound by karma. Understand? There's no way. You want moksha? Come on, no choice. Live a life of karma yoga first. Don't run for meditation. That will come later on. Now prepare your mind for meditation. Then that will all come. First live a life of karma yoga. Is it clear? Therefore, tadartham ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. This world is bound by karma. Is it clear now? Therefore, anyatra, no choice, no way of freeing yourself bondage. Tadartham, for that sake. Now, may you karyam karma mukta sangaha samachara. May you perform your duties as yoga with a proper attitude. Okay? Being free from attachment to the fruits of actions. The fruits of actions is not mentioned. Whenever mukta sangaha comes in karma yoga, you have to understand that. Is it clear now? Because people, when you read the English translations, giving up attachment, free from attachment, first thing it will put you off. My God, I'm so much attached to my husband and wife, my children, my family, my pets, my dogs, you know, I'm attached to so many things, my God. Bhagavad Gita, I am not at all eligible to study Bhagavad Gita. Close the book and throw away. Why? Because Gita, every page says, give up attachment. This is what happens. It puts you off, isn't it? In fact, Bhagavad Gita is the one which tells you how to have genuine, real concern, affection, care for everyone. At the same time, how to remain detached from everyone. It is going to teach everything, isn't it? It doesn't ask you to live like a stone, giving up everything and going away somewhere. No, Bhagavad Gita does not teach that. Therefore, mukta sangaha means free from attachment, implies without being attached to the fruits of actions, which implies entertaining the attitude of seeing everything as prasada, thereby remaining the same in all situations. Is it clear? Okay, Bhagavad is here. Karma yoga as an order is presented here. If you don't live a life karma yoga, finished. There's no way of becoming free from bondage of karma in this world. We don't mind being bound, continue. Ignore karma yoga. That's okay. Next verse.
Saha yajna praja srishtva.
Saha yajna praja srishtva.
Purovacha prajapatihi. Anena prasavishyadvam. Prasavishyadvam. Yeshavostvishtakamadhuk. Yeshavostvishtakamadhuk. Devan bhavayatanena. Te deva bhavayantu vaha. Parasparam bhavayantaha.
Parasparam bhavayantaha.
Shreyav paramavapsyatha.
Shreyav paramavapsyatha.
Okay, let's see the 10th verse first. See, the 10th verse presents this fact. A living a life of karma yoga is ultimately for accomplishing moksha, which means living a life of karma yoga serves as an indirect means for accomplishing moksha through the mental preparation required for jnanam. But karma yoga, not only does it contribute for accomplishing moksha through mental preparation, karma yoga also will bless you with all that you want in this life. Artha, kama, dharma. Even for pursuing artha, kama, dharma, you know, ఈవెన్ ఫర్ అకాంప్లిషింగ్ ది ఎండ్స్ అర్థకామ ధర్మ కర్మయోగ సర్వ్స్ ఎస్ ఎ మీన్స్. కర్మయోగ విల్ బ్లెస్ యూ విత్ అర్థకామ ధర్మ ఆల్సో, విచ్ మీన్స్ కర్మయోగ విల్ బ్లెస్ యూ విత్ ఆల్ ద ఫోర్ పురుషార్థస్. ఇఫ్ యూ లివ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ లివింగ్ అ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ కర్మయోగ, లివ్ అ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ కర్మయోగ, దెన్ యూ విల్ బ్లెస్డ్ విత్ వాట్ ఆల్ ద ఫోర్ పురుషార్థస్, అర్థ కామ ధర్మ మోక్ష ఎవ్రీథింగ్. హౌ? బై ప్రిపేరింగ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఫార్ జ్ఞానం, మేకింగ్ యూ క్వాలిఫైడ్ ఫార్ జ్ఞానం, ఇట్ హెల్ప్స్ యూ అకాంప్లిష్ జ్ఞానం, దేర్ బై ఇట్ విల్ బ్లెస్ యూ విత్ మోక్ష. It directly it will also bless you with what? Artha Kama Dharma. Why? Because the person who lives a life of karma yoga, for I told you already, the karma becomes what? Worship. No, everything he does becomes worship. Everything he does becomes worship means already Bhagavan is in his life. Will is surrendered to Bhagavan, therefore Bhagavan is in his life. All the actions are offered to Bhagavan, Bhagavan is in his life. Water comes as prasadaha, therefore Bhagavan is in his life, isn't it? For such a person, you know, such a person is the one who can tap Bhagavan's grace. You know, to accomplish anything, you can make proper efforts. You can make adequate, appropriate efforts. Sometimes we are not successful in our ends, because our efforts are not adequate or our efforts are inappropriate. If we are very clear about what we want to accomplish, then we have to make appropriate efforts, adequate efforts also. Sometimes our efforts are not adequate enough, isn't it? So adequate, appropriate efforts we make to accomplish anything. But even if we make adequate, appropriate efforts, if we do not have anugraha, Ish Bhagavan's grace is not there, our efforts will not really bless us with what we need to, what we want to accomplish. Even if our efforts are appropriate. So always efforts must go in hand with grace, Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? Bhagavan's, we have to have Bhagavan's grace, and that grace we can tap only if we live a life of karma yoga. There's no way of pleasing Bhagavan, invoking Bhagavan's grace, tapping Bhagavan's grace, other than living a life of karma yoga. Understand? Because you are a real devotee here. Only when you live a life of dharma, live a life of karma yoga, you are a real devotee. You are a real bhakta. And how can you tap Bhagavan's grace otherwise? How to tap grace? Grace is abundantly available. Already you are enjoying grace. But you need more grace to accomplish greater things in life. Isn't it? For which karma yoga is the only way. Isn't it? Therefore, here that Krishna says here, so sarva phala sadhakam, sarva purushartha sadhakaha karma yoga. Karma yoga serves, karma yoga blesses one with the fulfillment of all the ends through tapping Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? By helping you tap Bhagavan's grace. That is said in this verse. He says, Sahayagya Pura Uvacha Prajapatihi. No, Prajapatihi Brahma, Lord Brahma. Who is Brahma here? No, Brahma is the one who first received the Vedas from Bhagavan, is it? Prajapatihi Brahma. The Puranic story, Puranic aspect, don't just give much importance, just understand. Pura Prajapatihi Uvacha. When Brahma created this universe, Brahmaji created the universe. When he created the universe, he created this universe along with Saha Yajnaha. When he created the universe, he created all the beings, he created the people, human beings, and along with it he created what? This Yajnaha. All these Yajnaha means different forms of rituals and worship. you know, the Noho of rituals, the Vedas, Yajnaha came in place, all the Karma Kanda of the Veda, isn't it? All he created Veda, Saha Yajnaha means along with the Veda, along with the, you know, when creating the universe, along with the, this universe, along with the beings, he also created what? This Vedas, he gave the Vedas also. Then he says, he gave the Vedas, this Vedas means all the rituals and things, all forms of Karma Kanda part, he gave it to the people. He said, Anena Prasavishyadvam, command. He, this Eshaha Vaha Ishtakamadhuk. Kamam Kamam Dogdhi Iti Kamadhuk. Kamam Kamam Dogdhi means what? No? Kamadhuk means that which fulfills your wish. So wish fulfilling cow is called Kamadhuk, Kamadhenu. It is in mythology, Kamadhenu is said to be the wish fulfilling cow. We also have wish fulfilling tree, Kalpataru, isn't it? So here Kamadhenu, don't go for any Kamadhenu. Please understand, Kamadhenu is actually knowledge. No, the knowledge is symbolized as what? Kamadhenu. Knowledge is the wish fulfilling, no, wish fulfilling factor is this knowledge. But here Kamadhenu stands for what? No, knowledge only. But here in Puranas we have wish fulfilling cow called Kamadhenu. You all must have read Ramayanam, heard Ramayanam, how Vishwamitra went to us, no, Vasishtha Maharaj's ashram, he went with a big battalion of his people, and when he went, now look at, even to make one tea, how he had really struggled here, but he had Kamadhenu. Vasishtha was sitting like this, my God, Vashvamitra counts with a big battalion of people, and he came and sat, and that's all. He told Kamadhenu, he just instructed Kamadhenu mentally, and Kamadhenu looked at, my God, so many people and so many varieties of food and so many, no, they really served food. Kamadhenu means whatever you want, you can really get it. Milk. You can milk from the wish fulfilling cow. Whatever you want, you can milk from that milk, wish fulfilling cow. The whole IKEA, Kamadhenu can get you. All the Tesco's and, you know, Sainsbury's, Kamadhenu can get you. Anything you want, Kamadhenu can get. This way, Kamam Kamam Dogdhi, that which milks all your wishes. Understand now? Wish fulfilling Kamadhenu. And here, this Prajapati Brahma created these Vedas, all the karmas, rituals, etc., yajnaha, everything. And he said, come on, look at this. Eshaha Vaha Kamadhuk. This is the Kamadhenu. What is Kamadhenu? Now he created these yajnas along with the people. He said, come on, here is available all the rituals of Karma Kanda. Understand? This is Kamadhuk. You perform these rituals, okay, with proper attitude, isn't it? Not only the rituals here, very mere karma itself, when you performed as yoga, becomes Kamadhuk. How you understand this verse very clearly? Any karma, when you perform with proper attitude as yoga, it is a Kamadhuk. It's going to become what? Wish fulfilling cow. He mentions, Anena Prasavishyadvam. May you get delivered anything you want from this wish fulfilling cow of yajna. What is yajna here? Worship. Isn't it? Worship here is what? Yajna is a Vedic term for worship, puja. Which means, here you perform rituals. Perform rituals. And anything you want, for everything there is a prescribed ritual. Any end you want, to accomplish anything, to attain anything, there is a prescribed ritual. You perform this ritual and get the benefit. Enjoy the benefit. because it's a wish fulfilling cow. Because there's nothing, it is impossible for you. For artha, there are specific rituals. For accomplishment of pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures, specific rituals. Even for dharma, specific rituals. Therefore, but for moksha only jnana. Okay? For artha, kama, dharma, you can perform karma. Understand, karma is only for the accomplish, for accomplishing artha, kama, dharma. Not only this yajnas, when you perform your action as yoga, karma yoga is yajna. Therefore, this karma yoga, this teaching, isn't it? This living a life of dharma, performing one's actions in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude, converts all my actions into yajna, means living a life of karma yoga will bless one with what? Fulfillment of all one's desires. Which means, thus one with accomplishment of artha kama dharma. How? By through Bhagavan's grace. Which means one can tap a karma yogi who lives a life of karma yoga, has the capacity to, you know, tap Bhagavan's grace, which means he has abundance of grace, therefore he can accomplish anything in life. Anugraha sampadikkanum. How to earn Bhagavan's grace? I tell you, people always complain. Our complaint is, I remember this. Something if we don't get it, if we wish, we have no grace. Okay, no grace. Simple thing. No, I worked very hard. Whatever we say, we might have worked very, very hard, no doubt about it. We lack grace. No, I prayed to Bhagavan, I did that puja, this. You know, to tap Bhagavan's grace, you need what? You need Bhagavan's grace, you need lots of punyam. And that punyam, special punyam, you require for tapping Bhagavan's grace to accomplish everything you want to accomplish, to fulfill all your wishes. You need to live a life of karma yoga. Understand? That is what is said in this verse. But it is not complete. This he is going to explain in the following verses. This karma kanda of the Veda is the kama dhuk. Now, may you perform the rituals, invoke the grace of devatas, invoke Bhagavan's grace. Now, get anything you want to get. What you cannot achieve, if you make adequate, appropriate effort, you know, along with Bhagavan's grace. How can you tap Bhagavan's grace? Living a life of karma yoga. That is why, you know, we do varna japam, we do that homam, we do this homam. But if you do not live a life of karma yoga, there's no commitment to live dharma. You do not live a life of karma yoga. Live life of dharma. There's no proper attitude, but simply perform rituals. Get the priest, give dakshina, make him perform the rituals, then don't complain rituals are not effective. Understand? If you want the rituals you perform, rituals prescribed in the karma kanda are very, very effective. If those rituals, when you perform, if you want rituals to be effective, no? If you want it to be really wish fulfilling, then you'll be a karma yogi. As a karma yogi, when you perform worship also, that worship will bless you with grace, which will help you fulfill your wish. Is it clear? Clear or not? Doubt? Okay. If you have doubt, ask me later on. Because sometimes people mechanically, no, we today is my puja. No, I am enoda kattala, you know. Today we are paying money in the temple. Today is our puja. We are paying money. Our family name, the board, the name should have. Who is today's ubayakara, you know? today's thing, and everybody should come, and the priest doesn't give you some, forgets to give parivattam, gets angry. He forgets to, sometimes because of hurry, he forgets, finished. No, I have given money, today's my puja, you didn't even look at this, these things don't happen. Why I'm saying? That is why the people, let us not find fault with the effect of the rituals. The Vedic karma, the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda, they are effective. They will bless you with anything you want. In fact, karma kanda is for the accomplishing arthakama dharma. Jnana kanda is for accomplishing knowledge, which is moksha. The whole Veda is for what? For accomplishing artha, kama, dharma, moksha. Why karma kanda is so big? Because you have to perform rituals, enjoy all that you want to enjoy, so that you will grow out of desire for all that you enjoyed in life. You know why you have to enjoy everything in life? To know the limitations. That this, in Tamil we say, Ivvalavadana. So only this much. Not to grow out of, to know the limitation of it, that this cannot give you what you are seeking. What you are ultimately seeking is what? Everlasting, limitless peace and happiness, that nowhere you can get it, nothing can give that to you. To know that fact, you have to enjoy so as much as possible in life. To enjoy as much as you possible in life in a very short time, you need abundance of Bhagavan's grace. To have Bhagavan's grace, you need to live a life of karma yoga. Perform rituals, perform worship, but those rituals performed will be effective. You are very rich, some pura punyam you have, lot of money you have, you spend money, you perform rituals, you employ a priest, perform rituals, nothing happens. There are Sri Sukta Homam, I should have this much turnover. This much turnover, no Sri Sukta Homa. All diseases should go, this home. I want a boy in this family. Sometimes boy children, people want boy babies. So for special, everything there are rituals prescribed. What is it you cannot get? You can get anything you want. There are specific rituals in Karma Kanda. Have a properly informed priest. Employ them, have the rituals performed, you will get it, provided you are a karma yogi. Understand? That is why if you are a karma yogi, even these rituals will bless you with everything. So artha kama dharmas, the karma kanda, the most voluminous portion of Veda, presents varieties of rituals for accomplishing artha kama dharma. And when you get tired, understand limitations of everything later on, no, I'm not interested in anything else, then you become dispassionate, mature person. After enjoying everything, you go for jnanam as a mature person. Then jnana kanda. Very few pages of the Veda. Upanishads. Is it clear now? Therefore, you need karma yoga for tapping Bhagavan's grace. To fulfill, to accomplish arthakama dharmas, also jnanam, which is moksha. Without karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, you cannot tap Bhagavan's grace. Without Bhagavan's grace, you cannot achieve anything in this life. Time? Only now you heard the class. Okay. With this, hope you understood this class today, 10 verses, and we have to see how we have to see karma yoga. We'll understand karma yoga as worship. We have seen karma yoga as an order from Bhagavan. What we lose if we do not live a life of karma yoga, what we gain if we live a life of karma yoga. See, we will fail to understand, will fail to make effort to live a life of karma yoga only if we are ignorant of the greater value of what we are going to lose by not living a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Therefore, Bhagavan made it, present karma yoga as an order. Then even your so-called the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda, they are always available. Veda is perennially eternal, timeless shastram, always there. Don't need to worry about anything. You can perform anything and get anything, provided you have Bhagavan's grace. But Bhagavan, that is why always we perform actions, but our actions are failures. Actions really do not really bless us with what we want. Why? Because we lack grace. So our actions have to bless us with appropriate results. Now, which we need Bhagavan's grace. For the grace, what we need? Karma yoga. Isn't it? Those actions must be performed as yoga. What we lack, isn't it? Therefore, with this hereafter, we have to see karma yoga from other different angles also. The Bhagavan Krishna himself presents these verses, you know, karma yoga from different angles, presents in these verses. We'll see those verses, I mean, tomorrow. Okay? Any doubts? Any questions? You can feel free to ask me questions.
Question about the obligatory duties. How do you know that this is your obligatory duty? Because the roles may be very many, but it's like, say, if you have a son, what is your obligatory duty beyond which?
No, that is the duty comes. You know, see, your duties, you know, as a mother, you have duties. As a father, one has duties. As a wife, you have duties. As a daughter-in-law, as a daughter, as a professional, as a citizen, as a friend, different duties. But there, obligated duties, I'm saying, you know, I had to attend, she came to my house, some condolence has happened, I had to go. No, it is not that compulsory. Just you have to go. There's a wedding, they invited us. We have to go because I want them to come and bless my children when they get married. So I had to go to their house to bless their children. Isn't it? Self socializing. It's also, that also comes as obligated duty. Obligated means all sorts of things I'm talking about. Yes.
There's no end to it. Because what about the obligatory duty?
You know, that is what I'm saying. There is an end. There is a definitely end. When you think, no, if you think, suppose that there is a time you need to do your duties, there's a time when you grow out of that. You don't need to do it. It's not a time, always, it's not an everlasting thing, isn't it? There is a time you can put a full stop. You have to stop it. That is when we say your life changes. The lifestyle changes, isn't it? The lifestyle changes. You shift from karma yoga to sannyasa. See, one important thing you have to remember is, for a karma yogi and for a sannyasi, both of them, you know, following different sadhanas, really speaking, for both of them, goal is one. For a karma yogi and a sannyasi, for both of them, goal is one and the same, moksha. The sannyasi is the one who would have been a karma yogi and has become a sannyasi. Who is the present karma yogi definitely will become a sannyasi later on. Sannyasi means what? Not that physically you become sannyasi. One will go through mentally sannyasa. It means one become mature. See, sannyasi means don't think the person who is in saffron robes. Sannyasi is the one who is mature minded. So karma yogi is not immature, I'm saying. Relatively, okay, the karma yogi is the one who is said to become more mature. Karma yogi is a mature person, not the immature person. But a sannyasi is a more mature person. And a jnani is the most mature person. Understand? Ultimately, what now? Who is immature? I taught you in our class. isn't it? One who does not live a life of karma yoga, if you do not live a life of karma yoga, what are you? Karmi. Karmi means what? One who does not have purushartha nischaya. There's no clear knowledge about the end being moksha. So there's no, the person does not know the value of knowledge. Therefore, the person cannot be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. If the commitment is not to the pursuit of knowledge, and what is his ultimate end? What is his living this life for? Artha kamas are the ultimate ends. If artha kamas, if moksha being the ultimate end is not clear, definitely one cannot know the value of the knowledge. If the value of knowledge is not known, then purushartha will be only artha kamas. If artha kamas become the ultimate ends, it is not that easy for one to live a life of dharma. One can compromise with dharma whenever possible, which means dharma is not lived. Which means that then if dharma is not lived, the person is living by his own whims and fancies, not by one's act. His actions will not be dictated by his own, his knowledge of right and wrong. His actions are dictated by his own likes and dislikes. Which means such a person, you are going to see in this verse, such a person is like an animal. He is immature person. We don't say it wrongly. Such a person is what now? He lives like an animal. He is an immature person. So Shastram does not say wrong or bad anything. Immature. The immature becomes a mature when the end is clear, we understand the value of knowledge, he becomes committed to live a life of karma yoga, he lives a life of karma yoga, he is a mature person. This mature person, by living a life of karma yoga, he taps Bhagavan's grace. As a result of Bhagavan's grace, means how? Manifests in the form of mental purity and mental steadiness. And thereby, he has more grace, he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Every step you need Bhagavan's grace. Without grace, avanandri oranu masiyad, nothing can move without tena vina trinamapina charati. Isn't it? Nothing moves without Bhagavan's grace. Every second, every step we need Bhagavan's grace. So when, you know, this person, therefore karmi, immature, this, then when he becomes blessed with the knowledge, the karma yoga becomes the most mature. The wise person, the jnani, is the most mature. One cannot become the most mature overnight, isn't it? You have to be more mature to become the most mature. You have to become mature first of all to become more mature. You have to change from being immature to mature first of all. For which Shastra exposure is important. Is it clear? Therefore, the social obligated duties do not stay forever. Understand? Again, it's all what? Understanding, isn't it? Once the shift comes, this viveka comes, then if you are given to the study of the Shastram, then any duty becomes easy. It's not difficult. It won't be a burden. Shastra study will bless you with enough clarity to handle, to manage, to take everything properly.
This social obligatory duties, at least what the Shastra is ordained, or what the society imposes on you.
No. Nothing is imposed on you. As a human being, you just do what you expect from others. That's all. You do what expect from others. Then nothing is imposed actually. It's all common, the common sense that what we expect from others. Others, if I want others to come and smile at me, I have to smile. If I keep like this, then who will smile at me? It's all whatever I expect from others, I should do. I want others to come to my house, I should go. It's all simple. There is a need, emotional need, isn't it? The needs will be there. We have to manage our needs. That is why the social, this dependence. I need to go, they need to come. These are all needs again. Initially, you are a needy person. We are all needy people.
So do they come under must-do duties? That's what is, according to the Shastra. I mean, this sort of duties, you know, discipline.
That's why I'm saying, it's all, see, must means, duty means it's a must, isn't it? Duty means there's no choice. But here again, the priority, you have to always see what is your priority. You have to see what you prefer. What is your, no, that is why there you have to use your viveka. You use your viveka, see what is your preference, what is your priority. Then you can ignore. The whole jagat can have so many things. You can't really do everything, isn't it? There's limitations there. One has to know one's limitations and understand your priorities, even to prioritize, even to correctly, what is my priority, to know that also you need Shastra study. Isn't it? Again, you will be very, see, once you are very clear about your priorities, then nothing can shake you. You won't be really, nothing can really affect you. You'll just live, do boldly what you need to do, what you want to do. Really. But at the same time, there's a concern is there. Concern must be there for society and people around. Isn't it? Without concern for others, then what is this life for? Then there's no way. There's a basic humane thing, you know. The concern, the affection, the care for others must be there. Irrespective of who the person is, how the person is, what the person is. When we are in a situation, we have to have the concern. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.